exhibitors at the fair from different minorities. We even have an Argentinian exhibitor, and as I said, there are Roma people, Hungarians. I think the fair is as important as the musical component of the festival.
Back at the stage,
90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
Our bright colors are singing.
The views and opinions of this program are those of its host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Midcoast Radio Project, or its staff and volunteers.
The only good Indian is a dead Indian.
Well, welcome to Native Spirit Radio here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. I'm Rhonda, your host here for the next hour. And we have some guests in the studio, so we'll be introducing them in just a few minutes about an event that's going to be coming up next weekend. Make sure you guys all know about that. We're doing your news across Indian Country at the half hour, so make sure you stay tuned for that as well. We'll start off the show with some Keith Sekola and Indian Cards. You're listening to Native Spirit Radio here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
Dash is dusty, my plates are expired. Please, Mr. Officer, let me explain. I got to make it to a powwow tonight. I'll be singing 49 down by the riverside, looking for sugar, riding in my Indian car. Got my T-shirt in the glove box, I ain't got no spare. Got a feather from an eagle, I ain't got no care. The road is empty and my bottle of desire. Daylight is breaking, the sun touches fire. I got to make another powwow tonight. I'll be singing 49 down by the riverside, looking for sugar, riding in my Indian car. Riding in our Indian car.
right. Well, you're listening to Native Spirit Radio here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. And part of our mission is to provide more Native music to the city and nationwide. So we do that in working with the Harvest Moon American Indian Festival, and we have the people in charge of that with us right now. If you want to introduce yourself, Teresa.
I am Teresa Bradsky. I am Miami of Oklahoma.
I'm Harry Reeves.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us. And so there's a little bit more going on with the Harvest Moon Festival. Usually it's just the music and then things with the children, a little bit of event booths, but you might want to explain about what you guys are doing earlier in the day.
Okay. The first thing I'd like to say is we are very excited about having a return this year of KKFI's favorite and own Rhonda.
Yes.
So we are really pleased to have you back again this year to MC.
No,
thank you so much. This year, yes, we are approaching things just a little differently, and that is that we're located, of course, on Troost Avenue between 31st and Linwood, which is the historic Osage Trail. The important part of that is so much of Indian history is lost in urban areas. And as urban Indians, we are segregated from our own culture, from what's available to us. And we set about, and the neighborhood got together and organized and became recognized by the city of Kansas City as the Osage Trail Station Neighborhood Association. And so this year we're going to have a ribbon cutting on that. And Osage Johnny Williams from Osage Nation will be in representing Chief Jeffrey Standing Bear, along with, I believe, one of the council members, because council is in session, it's a little tough for folks to get away. But we're very excited about that. There will be proclamations presented by Frank White, from the county, by Scott Wagner, who is the Mayor Pro Tem of Kansas City, and will present the city proclamation. And believe it or not, we actually have a state proclamation this year.
Wow.
So that is something that is very unique. We've been gifted by having an Osage flag to fly at the Urban Tribal Embassy at 3105 Troost. We are just so honored to have these people. We have a lot of other folks who have been supports and solidly with us. Henry Lyons of the Olathe NAACP, and just so many other folks that will be. Yes, the KC Indian Center will be here this year. Gaylene Krauser, the executive director. Christine Moley, who is the executive director of the American Indian Council on Armor. I believe she's going to make it, but she has a new grandbaby, so we have to get our priorities together here.
All right, yeah. And you want to talk about some of the entertainment that you're going to have coming?
Oh, we're very excited. Moses Brings Plenty is coming back, especially since he's been on the A&E special and was Chief Joseph, I believe he was, yeah. And of course, Moses has brought so much talent, and we now consider him one of our local urban Indians, but is an actor and does so well. Excuse me. We have Tommy Wildcat coming in, bringing his flute, which is a tremendous gift. We have Dennis Rogers, who will be performing. The drum again this year will be White Eagle Park with Chiefy Roy, and he is bringing Sean Rubidoux this year as part of the drum.
Jim Robinson.
Of course, we have the Tim Robinson Dance Troupe, and we're just excited about that. We have a number of new vendors who are coming in, American Indian artists and artisans, who will be setting up booths, as well as a lot of others. We're going to have a food truck party this time for very first time to kind of augment. We, of course, you need to go get an Indian taco, if you haven't had an Indian taco. And I'm begging out there, if anybody makes meat pies, call me or email us at tycordevelopment@gmail.com. That's T-Y-C-O-R development at gmail.com. We are really excited this year. We will be showcasing our embassy, which is in infancy stages, and our museum, and many of the changes that we've made there as we watch this develop into kind of an extended portion of the native urban community here in Kansas City.
Definitely. And what time does it start at?
It starts at noon. We go until 10 o'clock p.m. We have some local groups returning. We have Oasis, and Kenneth Ford is a Freedman Creek. And we don't want to forget our Freedman brothers and sisters, and they are just wonderful folks. Kenneth is very gifted. Oasis has been with us since day one of the festival. We also have As One, which is a reggae group for a little bit of flavor, and just, again, a very talented local group. And we will be having a new young man on the stage this year, Coco J. Jackson. I think I got that right. Okay. And he's just kind of a local community member who is going to get up and strut his stuff a little bit for us.
Awesome. Well, that sounds great. And the thing about having the Kansas City be a part of this Osage Nation Trail, I think that's wonderful outreach into the Indian community, because, you know, we figure all our land here is American Indian land. So for them to recognize it is amazing outreach, I think. And doing this ribbon cutting is amazing. Because I remember you guys working on that last year.
Oh, we've been working on it for 16 years.
Wow.
So it takes a long time to educate. And that's the intention, is to really do an exchange. People tend to be afraid of what they don't understand. And once that veil of ignorance is broken, and I don't mean ignorance in a derogatory way, I mean ignorance is simply not knowing. Mm-hmm. We're not taught in our schools as we should be, as you well know. Teaching at Haskell, how many of our local folks realize that Haskell Indian Nations University is actually in Lawrence, Kansas, is so very close to us.
Yeah.
We have no tribes, no federally recognized tribes in the state of Missouri. We have five in Kansas. And so many of the tribes, the first year that we had the Harvest Moon, we had the Kaw in as well. And because, of course, Kansas is Kaw. Yeah. And we wanted to recognize this interrelationship that exists at an urban level.
Definitely. And so we're talking with Teresa Bransky and Harvey from Tycor Development Program, who are part of the Harvest Moon Festival 2016 that's going to be taking place next Saturday starting at noon. Join us out there for a really great event and food and fun and stuff for the kids as well. So I definitely say it's a family-friendly event. A lot of great music as well. I really enjoyed seeing everybody going out and actually dancing mm-hmm. out there last year, so that was really great. But yes, it's been going on for a long time, and I think it brings a lot of history to Kansas City with American Indians, and you know that there's always been Native people here.
We have, and Harry can speak to this, the mound that exists here in town, and so much of what we have that is just not known. It takes a community and an effort to pull this together. Haskell, of course, has been fully an incredible support to us. Joe Irwin Rohrbach, I believe is his name, is the gentleman who comes in and speaks to our children. And he's from Indian Health Services. And that's from 12 until 2, the Children's Festival. And what we do is try to focus, thanks to Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City, focus on the tremendous need for a healthy diet, because diabetes is such a silent problem for those in Indian community. Diabetes has always been a problem. Bring your lawn chairs. Just, you can park your lawn chair and just stay. I know the weather is supposed to be nice. It's supposed to get a little chilly towards evening, so bring something to wrap up. But there will be music and entertainment. I forgot Dennis Rogers, who is Navajo, who does a wonderful job. He does some hoop dancing. He does a little bit of everything. Harry can tell us a little bit about the mounds and so on that are here.
The mound that is here in Kansas City, Missouri, is the one where the Indians located up in back of the BMA, the old BMA building. It sits on top of a mound. It also represented the fact that there was burial grounds and sacred grounds that ran all the way from Southwest Traffic Way all the way over to Forest Street in Kansas City. So basically all of the property throughout that whole area was sacred ground. So with all the things that's been going on about sacred grounds lately, we're really proud of the fact that we're trying to capture back a piece of that for people to be able to start to understand what this means. So we're having a wonderful time now being able to get community development and economic development looking at trying to help us posture this area as a tourist area and a new thriving cultural event area.
And I think that's really great because, you know, we need economic development, and to have Native Americans part of that is just really wonderful to see that thriving and the history of it as well.
Exactly.
Your people are learning something.
It's beautiful. Beautiful.
Well, thank you for being here. Was there anything you wanted to add?
Just that I would like to say what a wonderful partner KKFI has been and how grateful we are for community radio like KKFI, and that we're able to listen to programs like yours, Rhonda. How difficult it is for an urban Indian like myself, who although I've lived on the reservation, when you come to an urban area, it seems like your culture is ripped out from under you. And that certainly left me feeling kind of empty and vacant. I need my community. And as I age, of course, I'm getting up there now. I've got one or two ticks after my name. And it's just, it is more essential that that's fed. And we need for our children, particularly, we were told to think 7 generations forward. And when I speak, I often speak of being the fire of time. I am the fire of time. And I want to thank you, Rhonda, for being the fire of time in continuing to carry forward what there is that's so beautiful about our culture. Thank you.
No problem. Did you want to add anything, Harry?
Well, yes, I need to do a little shout out to Missouri Council for the Arts for staying with us over the last 3 or 4 years now. Also, Kansas City Neighborhood Tourism has been very good to us to help us continue to put these programs on so people can catch on to what's going on.
Definitely need to thank our allies that are out there and participating with us and knowing what it means to present our culture to the community. It's very, very important. I really appreciate what you guys are doing. It also gives our Native musicians an outlet to play their music where they normally would never have a place to play that music because it is so unique.
Right.
So I really appreciate that, you guys. Well, thank you for being here with us.
Thank you, Ryan.
By the way, I want to thank one of the things folks need to know, the Shakopee Midwakan Sioux out of Minnesota have supported us every year. Now, how remarkable. The Shakopee have been with us all these years. I think that's amazing. And we will have a barrel for the Standing Rock Sioux folks. They will be having something, I know, that day down at the river. But it's, you know, it's a different matter entirely. So, but it's important to keep in mind that we stand in solidarity.
Definitely. Well, thank you guys for being here with us. And I'm going to play one of the artists. We also didn't mention the Red and the Blue is a band from Haskell. And that's fine. And so I'm playing one of their songs. These guys will be out there. They're really great. They're young and have a lot of energy with them. They're going to be playing at the Harvest Moon Festival this Saturday, October 1st. Again, stuff starts at noon. And again, they have children's activities from noon to 2. So make sure you bring the kids out. It's going to be a wonderful time. Right now, here's the Red and the Blues.
There goes on the waves. Won't you take me down the river on a lonely day? I'm never gonna make it. But I love you, so I'll never need to hear you say. As we go down, as we go down, my shallow heartbeats of pain, I'll take your hand. Past the stars is where we'll find ourselves again. Flow until the river takes us in. And we'll flow until we find what's at the end. As we go down, as we go down, my shallow heartbeats of pain, I'll take your hand.
live the old way, and it was fun days for me growing up.
Aloha,
wahine Hawaii vo,
mahalo. Tasana hohino puhu.
Because, you know, we're talking for the future generations.
I'm Conroy Chino, introducing you to Living Voices, profiles of Native Americans and Native Hawaiians today. As tribal chairman, William Mahoji assisted in drafting the Constitution of the Kaw Nation. After a long career as a teacher, he looks back on some of his key experiences.
My name is William A. Mahoji. I was born on August 6, 1917. Born in Washanga, Oklahoma. I'd like to pay a tribute to my mom, who was an advocate for education. She herself was what we call an Indian blanket woman. She always wore her blanket for her dress. And one of the things she always told me, she said, "I want you to get an education." I tried to follow her advice in getting an education. I attended high school in Kaw City, Oklahoma. Used to regular curriculum for high school students. And I graduated in 1937. Following high school, I went to Haskell Institute. And so after graduating in 1939, I believe it was, I received a call from the superintendent at Pawnee to come and work at the Pawnee Agency. The Pawnee Agency is our home agency for the Kaw Tribe, as well as other four tribes in that area. At that time, my salary was $1,260 a year, which means $105 a month. And to me, that was a lot of money. And my room and board at that time was $1 a day.
I would like to talk about my thoughts about being the last full blood. It's a reality of being the last full blood. To me, is sad and lonely. And we think of time as a speeding thing, just like a bullet. That time is an uncontrolled element. That there's no way that we can slow down time, nor alter time. That in the end, time will win out. And the time will come when there will be no full bloods at all in our tribe. When I was growing up in Washanga, I had always respected the older full bloods, who were the elders of the tribe. And I still recall several of the Kaw members who would go down to the only store we had, and they would sit on a bench on a porch and visit. Some of the older men that I recall were Silas Kahn, Rufus Test, Billy Jones, Claude Pepper. The stories and things that they talked about would be priceless for our libraries and our museums now. And we marvel at our older people. They didn't have the education, but they had wisdom. These elders were the historians of their times. They were the keepers of the Indian way of life. And they were dedicated to the fact that this way must continue into the future.
In memory of William Mahoji Sr., the last pure-blood Kaw Indian who passed on April 23, 2000. This interview with William Mahoji was conducted by James Pepper Henry. Living Voices is a project of the Smithsonian Institution, National Museum of the American Indian. Executive producers Kevin Lewis and Elizabeth Weatherford. Project coordinator Nan Rubin. Writers Peggy Berryhill and Ginger Miles. Mixed at Mercer Street Sound. For more information, check out our website at www.si.edu/NMAI. For Living Voices, I'm Conroy Chino.
Support for KKFI comes from the 6th Annual Harvest Moon American Indian Festival, Saturday, October 1st at 31st and Troost. This year's festival will feature actor Moses Brings Plenty, the Tim Robinson Dance Troupe, the Red and Blues, Dennis Rogers, Tommy Wildcat, a children's powwow chowwow, and many more events and activities. Lawn chairs are welcome, no tickets necessary. That's the 6th Annual Harvest Moon American Indian Festival, Saturday, October 1st in the Osage Trail Station neighborhood at 31st and Troost.
About 1964, we were suffering from the musical doldrums. Nothing was happening. And along came these four muff tops from Liverpool. They gave us a whole new look at music.
On Saturday, October 8th, at Knucklehead Saloon, help us celebrate John Lennon's birthday one day early with an evening of the music of the Beatles featuring the Philistines' Fast Johnny Ricker, David George, members of the Rainmakers, the Quivers, Broken Arrows, Liverpool, Potter's Field, and more. That's Saturday, October 8th. This is a benefit for KKFI.
Great. That's all he can say. Wild, man. Wild, baby. Wild, babe.
Woo! It's great. I love it.
Advance tickets available at kkfi.org/events.
All right, you're listening to Native Spirit Radio here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. I'm Rhonda, your host here, and we'll be doing your news across Indian country, letting you know what's going on out there. Well, a bill aimed at stopping the sale of tribal cultural property cleared the House this past Wednesday. The Protect Patrimony Resolution condemns the sale, transfer, and export of tribal property. It calls on the federal government to work with tribes and spiritual leaders to come up with ways to stop the practice and repatriate items back to their rightful owners. Quote, the U.S. government was not always gracious in dealing with Native American tribes, Representative Steve Pierce, a Republican from New Mexico and the sponsor of that resolution, said during consideration of his measure. And so the least that we can do is help them reestablish that culture that lets them tell the children who are coming up about who they were, where they come from, and the things that are significant to them. Pierce has been working closely with tribes to help them recover their property. He said some have been forced to buy sacred and spiritual items from auction houses overseas, recounting one instance in which a tribe went to France to reclaim an important part of its heritage. They bought a first-class ticket for it. It was so significant that they did not want it to let it travel as cargo in the hold of the airplane, Pierce said. In a more recent case, an auction house in France pulled a shield belonging to the Acoma Pueblo from the sale after the tribe presented evidence that had been stolen from the reservation, but he said the French government has been resistant to repatriation efforts. Negotiations are still going on to bring that item back, Pierce said. But the idea that we as a U.S. government should be studying these things that are around the world being sold internationally maybe have enough significance that we would want them repatriated. We would want them to come back to where people would know about their heritage. It's an interesting situation going on. Well, another D.C. news. Republicans advanced a controversial bill derided as a modern-day Indian land grab, even after Democrats said they would set a negative precedent for tribes nationwide. H.R. 5780, the Utah Public Lands Initiative Act, transfers 100,000 acres from the reservation of the Ute Tribe to the state of Utah and imposes management changes on another 200,000 acres on the reservation. The provisions were added to the 215-page bill without the tribe's consent. But Representative Rob Bishop, a Republican from Utah, the sponsor of H.R. 5780, insisted that he asked the tribe for input. He claimed that he didn't get a response from Ute leaders for more than a year or so he went forward with the Utah Public Lands Initiative anyway. I find the term land grab personally offensive, Bishop said. The tribe indeed slammed the bill as a land grab in a statement last week that has since been published in Utah. Democrats picked up on the phrase and tried unsuccessfully to remove the provisions at issue from the bill at a markup on Capitol Hill this past Thursday. quote, "For crying out loud, fellow congressman, let's not repeat the history and the errors that this government has done with the tribe throughout generations," said Representative Raul Ruiz, a Democrat from California and the top Democrat on the House Subcommittee on Indian, Insular, and Alaska Native Affairs. Quote, "We take away their land. The government then puts them in inhospitable areas. We expect them to develop on rocks in areas they can't develop on. And then now we want to take more land from them," Ruiz said. "Let's stop doing that. Let's not repeat history." Despite the emotional plea, Republicans rejected Ruiz's amendment to protect the tribe's boundaries by a vote of 13-21. And they approved the overall bill itself in another lopsided vote. The quick action came barely a week after lawmakers took testimony on H.R. 5780. While Vice Chairman Ed Sikaku and Council Member Bruce Ignacio were in the audience at the time, they were not invited to testify on the measure. Bishop, however, sought to assuage concerns about the fast pace. He said he called the markup only to address technical changes to the bill. "I just want people to know this is not the end to the process," Bishop stated. At the same time, Bishop refused to accept criticism about the land grab provisions. During the first half of the markup, which took place this past Wednesday, he insisted that the 100,000 acres in question is actually controlled by the Bureau of Land Management and not the tribe. Quote, "If the tribe thinks that's an error, they should talk to Sally Jewell. She is the trustee for the tribe," referring to Secretary Sally Jewell of the Interior Department, the parent agency of the BLM. Department records show who owns that land and who doesn't. Representative Tom McClintock, a Republican from California and the chairman of the Subcommittee on Federal Lands, the panel that heard the bill last week, repeated those comments nearly word for word. According to Bishop, the bill does not allow for the transfer of any lands held into trust for the tribe or any lands owned in fee by the tribe. He mentioned the provision on Wednesday and on Thursday. However, Bishop did not directly address the issue that Ruiz brought up. Transferring any lands, regardless of ownership status, could be seen as a reduction or diminishment of the reservation. Instead, Bishop insisted that the boundaries of the reservation are still being litigated. That's something a tearful witness from the state claimed at a hearing last week. However, the Tenth Circuit Court of Appeals has twice ruled that the reservation lands at issue have not been diminished by Congress. The court has repeatedly scolded the state for trying to relitigate the boundaries and even reassign the case to a new judge on the matter. Amid the controversy surrounding the bill, Democrats insisted that it will never become law, especially since the clock is winding down on the 114th Congress in a heated and busy presidential election year. Bishop hinted at the crunch and indicated his committee might not have time for another markup before the November election. So again, interesting situation going on in D.C. All right, for news on the Dakota Access Pipeline, the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe is bringing the No Dakota Access Pipeline movement, or the No DAPL movement, to the international stage. Chairman Dave Archambault met with U.S. Ambassador Keith Harper in Geneva, Switzerland, on Monday to talk about his tribe's resistance to the Dakota Access Pipeline. They discussed the efforts, including peaceful protests to stop the Dakota Access Pipeline, and the related human rights and indigenous rights issues, the U.S. mission in Geneva wrote on its Facebook. Archambault is also due to address the United Nations Human Rights Council on Tuesday afternoon. Harper, a citizen of the Cherokee Nation, serves as the U.S. ambassador to the intergovernmental body. Ambassador Harper welcomed the participation of the Standing Rock Sioux at the Human Rights Council, the U.S. mission in Geneva stated. Leaders and members of the United Nations Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues have already come out in support of the No DAPL movement. They also have called on the United States to recognize the Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples and ensure that the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe's concern about the $3.8 billion pipeline are addressed. The pipeline would adversely affect not only the security and access to drinking water of the Sioux and the millions of people living downstream of the Missouri River, but it would also destroy archaeological, historical, and sacred sites of the Sioux, a statement from the Permanent Forum read. The United Nations Human Rights Council consists of 47 governments that promote and protect human rights around the world. Harper is the first Native American to serve as an ambassador to the body and is the first member of a federally recognized tribe to serve as an ambassador for the United States. Well, there was an interesting article out of Oklahoma considering an art show. And this one is out of the Tahlequah Daily Press by Sean Rowley. It says, local artists unhappy with new show rules. With the Masters Show Art Display and Competition approaching in November at the Five Civilized Tribes Museum in Muskogee, some controversy has arisen about the requirements for the entry. In past years, the contest has been open to artists acknowledged as American Indians, but this year, some artists have been surprised to learn they must now carry a certificate of degree of Indian blood cards. Quote, it's embarrassing for a bunch of people, said local artist Merv Jacob, who won the Masters show last year, but is now ineligible. Some don't want to say anything about it. They just knocked out about a third or more from the Masters Artist Show. In February, State Representative Chuck Hoskin, a Democrat from Vinita, authored the House Bill 2261, which called for revision of Oklahoma's American Indian Arts and Crafts Sales Act of 1974 to narrow the definition of those eligible to sell art as authentically American Indian. Hoskin also serves as a chief of staff for the Cherokee Nation. Jacob says he is descended from the Kentucky Cherokees, though his ancestors' name do not appear on any tribal rolls. The three federally recognized Cherokee tribes are the Cherokee Nation, the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians, and the United Kituwa Band of Cherokee Indians in Oklahoma. Cherokee Nation citizens must be descended from those listed on the Dawes Roll. Eastern Band Cherokees are descended from people on the Baker Roll, and UKB citizens must prove a 1/4 degree blood quorum. Quote, the museum hasn't required a card to display there in 50 years, Jacob said. I'm not upset. I just went through this in 1974. Back then, I got angry and paid the price, but I live for my art and I paint every day. Mary Beth Timothy, an exit coordinator for the museum, said the cards have been required, but not from master's artists, including Jacob, who are grandfathered in as an exception to the Federal American Indian Arts and Crafts Act of 1990. She added that the museum was in compliance with the law in stating and posting that it did not offer proof of heritage of its artists. Jacob won the show in 2015 with his piece Pandarus Moth, and he believes Hoskins' legislation was motivated to some degree by that fact. Whatever the reasons for introducing the legislation, it enjoyed widespread support among the state's Indian tribes and the Oklahoma legislature. The bill's language required an American Indian tribe be recognized by the Bureau of Indian Affairs and that an American Indian be a citizen or enrolled member of a BIA-acknowledged tribe. Performing arts and literature were also added to the list of protected media. Quote, we have seen people time and time again falsely claim heritage in order to market themselves as a Native artist, Hoskins said after passage in March by a 90-0 vote in the House of Representatives. This closes a loophole in the federal act in Oklahoma protecting Oklahoma Indian artists. At its regular March meeting, the Cherokee Nation Tribal Council passed a resolution stating its support of HB 2261, and Principal Chief Bill John Baker stated in his opinion, the bill will ensure Oklahoma takes a firm position on preserving the integrity and authenticity of American Indian arts and artisans, Baker said. This additional layer of protection encourages future American Indian artists to pursue their respective craft. In April, the Intertribal Council of the Five Civilized Tribes unanimously approved a resolution supporting passage of HB 2261. We appreciate the Intertribal Council for supporting this issue, which will close a loophole here in Oklahoma, Hoskins said after the resolution was approved. The bill ensures Oklahoma takes a firm position in preserving the integrity of American Indian arts and artisans. So I've seen a lot of people talking about this story and what it means to the museum. I know it's a situation that they're just trying to follow with the federal Indian and Arts and Crafts Act. So I don't know, it's kind of crazy. See what happens with this issue. All right, well, that's all your news across Indian country, letting you know what's going on out there. Again, we are part of the Harvest Moon American Indian Festival, and that is next week, Saturday, October 1st. Starts at noon, goes to 10, and they do have a list of all the artists that will be playing out there. I just played the Red and the Blues. They're going to be there. Moses Brings Plenty Band, Tommy Wildcat, Oasis, Dennis Rogers, Coco J. Jackson, and the Tim Robinson Championship Dancers with Roy, Chiefy Roy, who's the drum keeper for that. So it's an awesome, awesome little event. So make sure you go check it out. Again, that is next Saturday on Troost Avenue between 31st and Linwood. All right, we'll get back into the music. And we're going to play some Reed Bobroff. You're listening to Native Spirit Radio here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
I've been ghost dancing in 12-inch ceremony mixed in reverse. I want to go back. Back to when hand drum circle cipher sessions spun the world. I've been ghost dancing on this modern platter of cemented long walks. I pray for buffalo with hooves like hail. Stampede, please bump the table. Please bump the table. I can dance my toes over their grooved backs. Listen to the way hide grinds like pine nuts and gore to the hip-hop of extinct knees that snaps beautiful like a b-boy. The tribe is back. Quests no longer find thin sacks of bones in the plains. I've been ghost dancing, and I can see Narbona. Crazy Horse, ODB, Notorious B.I.G., and Red Cloud jump from their paved-over graves. I hear tribal wisdom. I hear words. I hear prayer. I hear hands. Jam Master Jay shows us Shabik Eh. Through repetition, we dance. Through repetition, we dance. My moccasins need to be tied with the deer hide. Fat lace, spit shine, sterling silver stamp. Gotta look vamp before b-boys rip through stage. Decked out in braids, turquoise chains hang for days like 1862 Sioux warrior ways. And us new braves smile, cause Wovoka! Natives don't gotta be the only ones who come back. John Lennon, Robert Johnson, and Keith Moon play Eagle Bone Whistle inside Bob Marley's peyote clouds. We are rainbow proud. Forever, like Krylon feathers, we bomb this world in medicine wheel colors. Blue coats point their Gatling guns, but the bullets pass through us. Way-ah-hey-hi-ya. The bullets pass through us, spreading spiritless splatters on the walls. They say graffiti is a stain. So like wounded knee, we sink in. Paint our faces black mask like we're mad villains dressed in ghost jerseys. We dance on aerosol petroglyphs. Our signatures lie upon all the silver in this glittering world. Shaolin is a cedar pine hogan. And Thug Mansion, a deer hide teepee. And we mix these gathering nations until we all permeate sage. So we bless ourselves and dance. We dance to remember. We dance until the world is gone. Everyone is gone. The world's a ghost and everything is silent. So we drop the sun dagger onto vinyl. And let it sing.
Oh, yeah.
Support for KKFI comes from the 6th Annual Harvest Moon American Indian Festival, Saturday, October 1st at 31st and Troost. This year's festival will feature actor Moses Brings Plenty, the Tim Robinson Dance Troupe, the Red and Blues, Dennis Rogers, Tommy Wildcat, a children's powwow chowwow, and many more events and activities. Lawn chairs are welcome, no tickets necessary. That's the 6th Annual Harvest Moon American Indian Festival, Saturday, October 1st in the Osage Trail Station neighborhood at 31st and Troost.
In the Bible, we are told.
The Bible tells us it's better to give than to receive. But is there ever a downside to doing good?
Sometimes they have to neglect the well-being of people close to them for the sake of the strangers they're working for.
Inside the minds of extreme do-gooders. That's next time on Interfaith Voices.
Tuesday at noon, right after your Fusion Funkmeister.
All right, it's about my time to be getting out of here. And Sunset Reggae is going to be coming up for you next here on 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio. Like I said, be part of the Harvest Moon Festival. I will be out there the entire day. So if you want to come out and say hello, that'd be great. Keep me company out there and listen to some great tunes. Again, they start at noon. And the music starts up at 12:30. They're going to have the Tim Robinson Championship Dancers. 1 o'clock is the Red and the Blues. 2 o'clock is Tommy Wildcat. 3:15 is Oasis. 4:45 is Moses Brings Plenty. 6 o'clock, Tommy Wildcat again. 8 o'clock is Dennis Rogers. And 9 will be Coco J. Jackson. And ending with the Tim Robinson Championship Dancers. There will be events for the children from noon to 2. So make sure you check those out. You can go online and just Google Harvest Moon American Indian Festival and check it out. I'll be leaving you off with some Northern Cree and the real Hey Ya. Thanks for listening, and I will see you again next weekend.